At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. review of AEW Dynamite Tuesday. Wait a minute. Title Tuesday. It's not Wednesday. What day is it? I'm all turned around. Things are all crazy. What do you do when you've got the wrong show on the wrong day? Well, we review it anyways. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa hiding behind a book, and Jimmy Corderas taking a beating from a mini boxing glove. Jimmy, yeah. How are you today?
Well, as long as my chin survives this little boxing glove, I'm cool. I just a little memorabilia from the old Fight Network here in Canada, where I used to do some spots for, and it's a cool little thing. I just can see that little keychain.
Yeah, very, very cool to see. You know, I'm a little angry at Wrestling Inc., Jimmy. My contract specifically states that I get a 24-hour to 48-hour break period from you, but here we are. Next day, right after Raw, got to do it again. I'm going to have to call those guys.
Well, give them a call. Suck it up, Buttercup.
George Hermosa, join us here on a Title Tuesday. How are you, my friend?
Good. I was reading the James J. or J.J. Dillon book. You want to see something cool?
Yeah.
Look at that. To my friend, George.
I'd best say nice. The greatest. He said, like, to my friend Frank, and it was just a book you stole.
and scratched out. Oh yeah, George.
Yeah.
I will plead the fifth on that one.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of folks in the chat here with us already. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on a Tuesday. Speaking of Tuesdays, real quick announcement for everybody. Going forward, we will not be covering NXT on Wrestling Inc. anymore for a variety of reasons. Unfortunately, it just does not seem logistically possible. So we will not be doing NXT any longer, but we will still be doing our Raws, our Dynamites, our SmackDowns, our PLEs, and our pay-per-views. It's just Tuesdays. We'll just be a break day for you guys to think of all the great ways you can hit the like button, comment, share, subscribe, five-star review, all that good stuff. But let's get into some news. Let's get into some big stuff that's been going around. This is like some feel good news. We rarely get feel good news in pro wrestling, it seems like. This is feel good news, I think, amidst a terrible disaster. Adam Copeland, you know, one of the places rocked by Helene was Asheville, North Carolina, the big hurricane, obviously, hitting the United States, the first one. The home to wrestlers such as AEW stars FTR, Adam Copeland, and Beth Phoenix. On Tuesday, Copeland appeared on Busted Open Radio to discuss the ongoing situation in his hometown, in particular, noting the disaster aid provided by both FEMA crews on the ground, as well as outside help that's come from Copeland's boss, Tony Khan. He said, quote, "I was with FEMA crews from New Jersey, so they're out there, and these guys haven't stopped either. And initially, I started as a visit to try to boost some spirits, but then they're like, well, come on. And we got going and we got moving. And I'm sure we wouldn't ever want me to tell this, but they needed some stealth Starlinks instead of the big ones that Elon Musk sent, which aren't necessarily good for getting out in the mountains with these things. The drones over the top to be able to start locating people. So I reached out to Tony Khan, and guess who sent up a bunch of stealth Starlinks to the Asheville Police Department? I'll say it because he won't ever say it. He's been awesome throughout this whole thing, just throwing help however he can. So many people have been. So, Jimmy, this is one of those great stories where, again, it's a sad story, I should say, the hurricane, but didn't publicize it himself, but Tony Khan sending some much-needed help to the people there to try to get things back on track in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, it's a good thing to see. You know, like you said, it is a terrible situation, and people who do it out of the goodness of their heart and not looking for any flowers, they're not looking for a pat on the back or anything like that. And good on Adam for bringing it to people's attention, because you know, if you're going to be that nice and go out of your way to give that much help in a terrible situation, somebody needs to put it out there so, you know, people can, you know, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. George, terrible stuff going on with the weather. Again, Hurricane Helene and, of course, Hurricane Milton going towards Florida as we speak. Chris Bricks mentioning is in Orlando. So, of course, stay safe, Chris. I don't know exactly how hard that area is expected to get hit, but definitely stay safe through all that. George, you rarely hear these stories of people who just do these amazing, great things with their money. It's cool to hear that Tony Khan's doing this. I also read somewhere he donated like $10,000 to a GoFundMe. Tribalism, I mean, can take a back seat, but this is just cool. People do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, this goes to show that some things are just bigger than wrestling. This is, you know, real life. You know, drop the storylines, drop the gimmick, drop the tribalism, drop the silly tweets that we see on a daily basis. You know, this is real life dealing with people's lives. So it's good to see somebody of that stature being able to contribute to, you know, the realness of what's going on the East Coast.
Yeah. Again, if any of you here who are in the chat or are listening to us, please stay safe if you are in that area, anywhere affected by these places. And if you can, throw a little money to any of the different places that are helping out with those different things. Side note, Chad W. asked, hey, guys, did you do a Raw review? We absolutely did a Raw review last night. It was a shorter show, Raw, but we still went the full hour. So that's how we do it here at Wrestling Inc.
You know what else we reviewed? We also reviewed that? Bad Blood from Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You two did. I'm surprised you guys.
Not you two, George and Jimmy. I think Bono's off somewhere.
Bono was off that week. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Edge wanted to be the Edge, I should say. This is a wrestling show. We can't confuse people. But the Edge wanted to rock and roll. Does anyone know who the Edge and Bono are anymore?
Let's see in the chat if anybody remembers or recalls who they are.
We're all going to know who they are when a random album shows up on our iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does anyone remember getting a random album on their iPhones? If you're wrestling fans, we all got to know YouTube because they did the Beautiful Day song with Triple H coming back from injury. Mm-hmm. I still have that song in my workout playlist because I get all hyped up because I remember that return video. So let's talk a bit about Swerve Strickland. He's having a great week. He has said that history has been made according to a new video in a now deleted post on X, formerly Twitter. Strickland signed and finalized his new lucrative contract with AEW today at LA Comic Con in Los Angeles, saying history made, one of the most lucrative wrestling contracts in the industry finalized right here at Comic Con LA. Also, him with a number of other wrestlers have been added to the DC comic universe and had a comic book made of themselves. George, first off, congrats to Swerve Strickland. I love it when people get paid big money, especially when they've worked so hard for it. But George, being made a comic book, you know, we talk about people who get turned into toys and how as a kid, that's got to be cool. But comic books got to be right up there.
Oh, it's up there. Real quick, though, I am so upset at myself because maybe I need to be more visual. Maybe I need to see more of my surroundings. But I was at Comic-Con on Friday and Saturday, and I did not even know that Swerve was there. I didn't even know that AJ Lee was there. So I need to maybe look around with, you know, stop being a nerd for once and just try to, maybe I could have got a little exclusive interview with Swerve as he's signing the contract because we shared the same building. But yeah, being made into a comic book. I remember going to the store to buy the first issue of the Undertaker comic book back in like 96 or 97. I still have that somewhere. But yeah, it is pretty cool. It's kind of a whole new, not only say like a whole new audience, but you never know how something can resonate with somebody, right? Some kid can be at a comic book store, not even knowing what that is. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. What is this thing? Swerve. All that, you know, you just never know. But you know, action figures, comic books, video games, these are all things that we all loved as a kid. So now we kind of see this happening in front, you know, to their lives. So I can only imagine that, it's pretty cool for somebody like him, not only to finalize that contract, but now be immortalized in comic book way.
Yeah, I Googled it while you were talking, by the way, that Undertaker comic book. I see, if you Google the value, someone's selling it for $1,300. I mean, there's right. Someone else selling it for $8. So I don't know how, I don't know. Probably
is it
somewhere
at least
in the
signed
middle
or somewhere.
I don't know. I didn't click on it. Let me click on
pristine,
it here. We're
pristine
just
condition.
I had the first few. I had the first few issues of Undertaker. Huh.
Number six going for $1,300. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, there's a used one here for. They're all used, I guess, at this point. But yeah, another one's going for $8. So I don't know. I don't know, George. Maybe you have a treasure. Maybe you just have.
Do you remember there was like a WCW comic book back in the day?
No,
this was like early to mid 90s. There was like a legit WCW comic book.
I don't recall it.
I feel like Rey Mysterio's had a bunch of comic books.
He should have.
But
there's a lot of guys that should have.
But Jimmy, are you a comic fan? How does that land for you to hear? I mean, obviously, big signing, good for Swerve making money. But comic books, that's a pretty big deal. Very few wrestlers get comic books, even though we've just shared a couple of them.
Yeah, obviously, that's not something that I'm really into, but I know there's a huge, huge market for it. Sorry, George.
Yeah, what do you like, pro wrestling instead? What a nerd.
Yeah.
Come over to the comic book area.
Yeah. I unfortunately, I never really was. When I was younger, you know, that was me. I was like a DC guy. I was a Batman, Superman kind of guy. Yeah, I really wasn't even aware when I was younger of Marvel. I don't get at me now. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? But it is a big deal nowadays. It is a big market. There is a lot of people. I mean, like I have my wife's cousin is he's north of 50 and he's a big comic book collector. You know, where he's got boxes of comic books being delivered all the time. So this is a big deal, getting a comic made in your image. And what's the term for comics now? Made about you?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that's what it is. But it is. I think it is a big deal in today's day and age. That's for sure. And congrats on Sora for signing that deal. Obviously, we don't want. I don't need to pry on the actual dollar figure. Let's just say he's making good money and good for him.
Yep. Yeah. I don't feel like it's our business to know exactly how much it is. And even if it's not the most lucrative, he's a pro wrestler. He's supposed to say it's the most
exactly.
lucrative.
This is the best match ever. I'm the best wrestler ever. I'm getting paid the most money ever. And
Yeah, he could be like the 20th highest paid person on the roster, but you still say, yeah, I'm the most highly paid person on the roster. That's just what you do. I mean, if you're Ric Flair, these are $7,000 shoes, whatever, you know.
Didn't like MVP do that, right? Like when he got signed to SmackDown, he's like, oh, the most lucrative contract. And I'm like, dude, you just started.
Mm. Yeah, but again, that's just.
That's just gimmick.
Yeah. Speaking of contracts and legal stuff, John Moxley was granted a trademark for the name of his former tag team, Switchblade Conspiracy. That was a team with him and Sammy Callahan in TNA. Also, Joe Gacy was a part of that for a little bit, but mostly the duo. Jimmy, this is a world where wrestlers are getting a lot more savvy with trademarking things. Do you think we're going to see Sammy Callahan make a AEW debut now that this trademark has come through, or do you think this is just Moxley trying to find some ownership of some stuff he's done?
I think there's a possibility you may see Sammy Callahan. It's a definite possibility, I think. And it's not a bad deal, especially for that audience who is really in tune with the past of these wrestlers. You know, you have a Sammy Callahan show up, it will get a reaction because the diehard fans know exactly the history here. That's what they're all right. about. So in that case, it does make kind of sense if that is the case, that he is showing up. If not, then maybe he could create a new faction, so to speak, and use someone else. I mean, he does have Pac with him, and he does have Claudio and Marina Shafir. So,
you know. I mean, yeah, but
really quickly, you're right, yeah. though. They are becoming a little more business savvy as opposed to letting everybody else take ownership of their property, so to speak.
Right, which is good to see. I think it's smart of them. I do feel like the Blackpool Combat Club could use a different name. It doesn't feel like it's the Blackpool Combat Club anymore. It just feels like something different. A name like Switchblade Conspiracy sounds more like a 2000s punk band. But George, you're an expert on 2000s punk bands. What do you think about that? But also, Secular Belt brings up a good point. Jay White should be pissed. I mean, yeah. He's Switchblade Jay White. That clearly is a confusing situation there. What do you think of all this?
First off, I'm a big Newfound Glory fan and My Chemical Romance. I think My Chemical Romance is that Welcome to the Black Parade is a great album, by the way.
They're an emo band. They're not a pop punk band.
Good Charlotte then, right? Good Charlotte.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Sure. This is the anthem. I do think it's weird because like Switchblade is such kind of a cool, unique name. You think Switchblade and Stable, you automatically think Jay White's got to be in it. So yeah, but you can also make the claim that maybe John Moxley, because I think this goes back to like the late 2000s, early 2010s, before Moxley signed with WWE, him and Sami Callihan, you know, killing it in the indies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe Moxley's got the one that has a point as far as who the name Switchblade belongs to. So, but we'll see how that goes. But either way, I've always been a big Sami Callihan fan. Great guy, by the way. What a great guy he is. But I always thought he was extremely talented, very smart, very savvy to the business. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was maybe him kind of pushing Moxley to maybe get things trademarked, especially since it's so easy nowadays, right? Like, you can probably do it on your phone. There's probably an app, like a trademark app that you can download to do so. But either way, if this means Sami Callihan to AEW, I think that's going to be an excellent get. But yeah, 1,000% agree with changing the name, because we all know how the name originated, but now the guy's not even there anymore. So why they're, you know, at least change it up a little bit.
Yeah, we got an interesting, Secular Belt says they maybe they could be the Cutlery Combat Club. Him Jung-un says, then Butcher and Blade could join. You could have a whole Blade-themed group. I think that could work out. We got a lot of names for pop punk bands. Panic at the Disco, Simple Plan, Blink 182, 311. When Flobo's on, we always like to talk about our favorite ska bands. So in the chat and in the comments, I want everyone to list your favorite 2000s pop punk bands that you enjoy. Just as a random fun thing to throw in here. As you do, I want to talk about all of our amazing co-hosts, as I call them here, the people listening and watching and joining us in the chat. Thank you so much for contributing to the show. Sergio, Laura, KOD, Danny Cochran, Sonny Sitar, JR Smith, Brianne Milligan, Chris Bricks, Beer Money, Adonde, Him Jung-un, and Leonard Jones, as well as many, many others. Mike Martin, appreciate all of you for coming through. Also, if you're a lurker, you know I love you. Lyle Foster, I didn't see you there. Secular Belt, didn't see it. Oh, I called you out a few times. But anyways, like, comment, share, subscribe. You know all the good stuff. Zoot Suit Riot was the name of the song, Mike Martin. That's not a band. But
that was
band.
Okay. Was it Cherry Pop and Daddies?
Yeah. Band names are just the worst.
What's real Big Fish? What was that considered?
That was ska.
Oh yeah. She Has a Girlfriend Now is a great song.
Rule of thumb: if there's like brass in the groups, like trumpets and horns and stuff, it's a ska band.
I have a question: ska?
Is it about pop, ska?
Yeah, ska or pop punk, whatever you want to call it. Are they allowed to have a one name band title?
I feel like that is more 90s grunge.
Yeah. But like if you're 2000s, like you're not allowed to have like one name, right? It's got to have like multiple words in it.
Yeah. Because again, one name band is 90s grunge. There's a whole thing to this. And by the way, the 90s grunge and also 2000s pop punk can't make any sense. The name it can mean absolutely nothing. Yeah. You'll be like, I don't get what this is. But Jimmy, your music. Oh, no. You know, you're the 70s guy.
Yeah.
What's the theme to the music, to the names there? You got Sister Sledge, you got Earth, Wind, and Fire, you got Cool in the Game. Well, Cool in the Game makes sense. It's like, oh, this is Cool and his gang with him. I get it.
Exactly.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, I always just assumed were three members of the band for a long time.
Wow. There you go. Well, I like groups. The Commodores.
Commodores. I feel like those names make sense for some reason, as opposed to like the band Fish.
With the PH.
Well, or like, what is like Pearl Jam? What is a Pearl Jam?
What? No, what's a fog hat?
Oh, you don't know what a fog hat is?
No.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. Let's talk about this show.
Before we get the Casey and Sunshine Band. Yeah.
See, when it's an individual's name and the band, it always makes sense, though.
Yeah, like Diana Ross and the Supremes.
And the Sunshine.
The Supremes,
Diana Ross, that always makes sense.
Or like the OJs. Are there all their last names?
The OJs, the Spinners.
The Spinners are good. We gotta.
Who sings "Run Around Sue"?
Keep
Dion and
isn't it just Dion?
Dion and the Belmonts. Dion and the Belmonts. The Belmonts. Yeah. Come on, Jimmy. I get credit for knowing "Run Around Sue" off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Come on.
You scored points with me right now.
That's a great karaoke song.
Hey.
Okay. I know. We got to get the wrestling, but I got to ask. You guys like karaoke?
I love karaoke.
What's your go-to song?
You say I only hear what I want to.
So it depends on the crowd, right? If I'm feeling like it's got a nice talented crowd, I guess you can say, I bust out a little country because the females love the country. You know, maybe a little "Baby Lock the Door and Turn the Lights Down Low." If I want somebody to come up and sing with me, maybe a little "Shallow." From A Star Is Born, or maybe even what's the other one from Greece? Summer Love.
You're the one I want.
So fan.
Oh, Summer Love.
Summer Loving. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Killer of Demons. Oh God, Jack singing Lisa Loeb. I'm done. How dare you? I also like Cher. If I could turn back time. That's another good one.
Yeah, but you can hit those high notes. That's not my vocal range.
What's your song, Jimmy?
What is the other one? What's the other one?
Sherry, baby, Sherry. Frankie, that's not Frankie Valli. That's
Frankie. I didn't think it is Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
In the Four Seasons, yeah.
I have
to go an octave lower. That's why. You know.
What's your song?
Believe it or not,
you got Barry White or something.
No, believe it or not, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville.
Margaritaville, boring.
Yeah. I know.
What's next? Yeah. What's next? Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
What's wrong with that?
It's like a karaoke like classic, but like give a little creativity or something.
Okay. And my other go-to guy is Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Gordon Lightfoot, wow,
great Canadian classic guitarist up here. Yes.
You know who the best Canadian it is though. Celine Dion.
Landstorm.
Can we be serious for a moment?
We got to talk about this. Oh my goodness. J.R. Smith with the super chat throwing it down. Jimmy, I bought this time so you could sing.
This is
paid for time, Jimmy. We got to hear it. Let's hear it.
Do I go with the cliche?
Wait a minute, JR. I'm gonna get, if you can answer very quickly, I want you to make a request. for Jimmy. But here's the thing: it's got to be something that Jimmy knows. So you can't pick something. You can't pick any Sexy Red. We gotta pick something.
Who?
I got a little trivia after you sing. Actually, I'm gonna bring it back to wrestling. But I got a little trivia after Jimmy. Shows off his vocal talent.
JR requests Silent Night. Oh,
Silent Night. It's not Christmas time.
Close tell enough.
Tell that to Mariah Carey.
No.
Come on, Jimmy. Yeah. Silent Night.
No, it's too early for Silent Night.
Okay, well, I'll do
the wrestling thing because then I'll bring it back to Jimmy and hopefully sings along. Do you remember the three songs that The Rock and Stone Cold sang in that promo on Raw?
Oh.
One of them was already mentioned. Why? So the Rock comes out and's like, you know, we're gonna sing, and goes, you gotta know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
There you go.
Know when to walk away. See? Know when to run. You never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
And then you know what Steve Austin belted out with?
Your song.
You know what Steve Austin belted out with after that?
Nope.
Delta Dawn. What's that flower
you have on?
And then you know what the big finale was?
The crescendo.
Wasting away again at Margaritaville.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered in oil.
You see, JR, you got a couple encores in there. Money well spent. So
it's all Stone Cold's fault.
Throw us some bones, folks, and you can get some songs.
By the way, I think we're giving the higher ups an idea for a new show. By the way,
Cordero's karaoke,
anything.
I thought that's what you did on your radio show.
I do. Actually, I do it with Brian every week. Yeah.
You guys, we got to talk about AEW Dynamite. Okay. Potato Tuesday, guys. Come on.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Sorry, guys.
It is Title Tuesday. So we got a... We've got let's start with Darby Allin and Brody King. We got Darby Allin. He comes out and says that Brody King has answered Darby Allin's open challenge. Darby Allin explains their long history together before saying that him and Brody King are basically the same, but Brody King wants what Darby Allin has. Brody King says that they are the same, but Brody King doesn't take it for granted before he gets hit with a rock in the head, Jimmy. He gets hit in the head with a rock here. I want your thoughts on this. I like the story. I feel like this is gonna be the theme of the night. I feel like this was like a month of story crammed into one promo though. What was your takeaway?
I agree with that. I thought it was interesting. I liked the back and forth. My only thing was it felt like Darby Allin was acting as if he was the heel in this, even though he's the baby face. So Even the way Brody King was, you know, his responses didn't feel very heelish. So
yeah,
but the crowd again was cheering for Darby Allin because, you know, he's really over with the crowd. So that was the confusing part for me. So if they had taken their time telling a story where you saw this slow metamorphosis of Darby Allin turning into this guy, like The babyface never throws the first slap unless he's insulted.
Yeah.
You know, but this to hit him with a rock, bust and draw blood. I mean, that was the confusing part for me.
It is a very, you're right. It did feel like the antagonist was Darby Allin. And even Brody King, the way they talked about him, like, yeah, you bought your dad a house, and Brody King being like, listen, man, like, I don't want your family to have to go to work if you get hurt. And it was a very interesting direction, George. This did not feel like Brody King as part of the House of Black. This felt like a totally different thing that, again, all kind of happened at once. And The Rock felt very, I don't know if there was like an inside story with The Rock between them or if what happened there, but that seemed very kind of random too. I guess it did show that Darby Allin is willing to do anything, but what was your takeaway?
It's so crazy when you say The Rock. Now, when it comes to pro wrestling, you can't say The Rock anymore.
The Stone.
He hit him. Stone's taken too.
Yeah,
so I'm a little torn because I really like where that promo was heading when Brody started getting a little personal. And there were so many avenues that Darby could have taken. Because I was honestly, when Brody started speaking and started talking about how, you know, you live for whatever you do and, you know, you have a death wish, all these things, I was totally all in. I was invested. I'm like, I can't wait to see maybe a little bit more depth when it comes to Darby Allin's character. But then all we heard was like, oh, well, yeah, you want to end it right now, then go ahead and end. It's like, oh, man, like you just took it back to kind of your comfort zone. And I'm like, man, I felt like we could have got so much just from that delivery or just from that setup that Brody King had. Like it could have got to that next level of personal. It could have really elevated Darby Allin to another dimension when it came to maybe his motivation, because we just saw kind of him go back to the same thing. And I'm just like, oh man, it was right there, Darby. It was right there. You know, then you had The Rock. And then you had The Rock kind of get involved in everything. And yeah, it was cool. It kind of did feel like a little rush just so they had some kind of story behind their match at Wrestle Dream. But I was really a little disappointed in where it could have gone, the direction that the promo could have gone. And it did not go just because of, again, somebody going back to their comfort zone.
And this will be something, by the way, this is the theme of the night. I said, so I'll probably say it a few times, but yeah, I felt like there was a lot of story that was condensed very much like a month's worth of story into one promo. But I also will say it felt like the delivery from both guys, and this is throughout the night, deliveries tonight were great. Like to George's point, I felt like they were emoting a lot better than I've seen a lot of these guys do, like in a very good way. I felt like there was real feelings behind what they were saying. I love the energy and the emotion between them. So I think this match is going to be great. I'm a big fan of both guys, and I know they've had a lot of wars, so they're probably going to try to do some pretty cool stuff. I just wish they gave it the time. I wish they just spread this out and let it be something that built up for a little bit. But Jimmy, I don't know, did your eagle eye catch, reffing it up, a guest on security duty for this scene, Ricky Gibson, out there to break up the fight?
You know what? I did not notice him. Man, now I feel guilty.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to buzz him and apologize now.
Yeah, Ricky Gibson was out there. He is the Rick Rude of this generation now. He also, him and his partner from Midnight Heat had a tag team match, apparently, I guess before the show. I saw a picture up there. But yeah, he was one of the security guys that broke things up. I was like, Ricky! He didn't hear me. I'm in my house. He's far away. But I said it. We move on and we get to a match between Hologram and Commander, and Hologram's coming in 13-0 on Collision. It's a high flying, risk taking, death defying match that harkened back to the good old WCW cruiserweight days. Hologram gets the win. Afterwards, Jake the Snake arrives with Rush Dralistico and the Beast Mortos to destroy both Hologram and Commander. George, this team is what I assume Jake the Snake got in return for trading Lance Archer to the Don Callis family. I want your thoughts on this one. I think it was very WCW-like. I know you get the reference there with the cruiserweights. I thought it was really fun. How do you think that this new team is going to impact this group? Just break it down for me.
Yeah, the match I got no complaints about. It was very reminiscent of the old WCW, maybe very a super Kolo against a Lizmark Jr., you know, where you gotta just have a two guys go out there and you know they can kill it, you know, they can tell a good story. And you know, even though maybe the winner's not gonna get a cruiserweight championship in this case, you know, not gonna get a title shot against like the TBNT or All Atlantic or whatever they're called now. It was still fun to watch. It was still a lot of fun to watch. Hologram obviously is such a delight. For any colliders out there that, you know, like myself that watch Collision on a regular basis, we all know how special he is. And Commander is always fun to watch, but oh man, like should they ask the talent first if they're okay with trading off the managerial rights? Is that like a, like, I feel like Lance Archer was like, wait, what? Thanks for the news, Jake.
I have some comments on that in a little bit. That kind of frustrated me. And we'll talk about that when we get to the Don Callis section of the show a little bit more for sure. Jimmy, as far as this match goes, a couple things I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. As far as this match goes, I always like to say to people, you got to go to shows live. And when you go to shows live, really when you watch at home, but when you go to shows live, I would say, open yourself up to just whatever you're feeling in the moment. And I always say that because things happen. Like Commander, I went, they were here for a Ring of Honor show back when Mania was in town, and Ring of Honor also was in town, as that always happens to be the case. And it was Commander versus Vikingo. And it was at the time Vikingo's winning all the time. Everyone knew Vikingo was going to win that match. And I was sitting with my friends like, oh, Vikingo's going to win this one, but it should be fun. I was like, no, man, I'm going for Commander. And I was like the only guy in the audience who was like, cheer for Commander. I was going nuts because there's a loud, you know, loud audience. I was like, Commander, let's go. I was going nuts for him. He lost, but now whenever he's on, my buddies will like text me and say, Jack, your boy's on TV. And now I root for Commander. Does he win all the time? Never. It's like when I'm rooting for Akira, but it's like fun. It just becomes a fun thing that makes wrestling such a joy and a treat when you break away all of the like stuff we get tangled up, and it just becomes I'm gonna root for this guy because I don't know, he's my guy now. I'm rooting for him. I guess talking about that, but also I want your thoughts on the trade at this point. Like, do you think, like, forget the story, like, do you think it's a good pairing of Jake the Snake with these three guys? Do you think that makes sense to you? Does he fit with them? Do you think he'll help them, or is it kind of a weird, like, it doesn't match up?
I'm not sure it does match up. I don't know if Jake fits well with these guys. I like Jake with Lance Archer. The only problem was Lance Archer wasn't used enough. They underutilized, definitely, because he is a very good talent. He's really good. And having someone like a Jake Roberts by his side legitimizes him, you know. Don Callis cannot elevate him, because Don's a heat magnet. So that will help definitely. But Don's got a whole bunch of other guys and a whole other storyline going on with which we'll get to later. So I don't know if Jake, I was confused by the addition of the trio, Rush Mortis and
Jalisco.
Yes. I'm going to wait and see where it goes, but at the same time, you know, Jake was a great talker back in the day, but unfortunately that voice of his is not commanding like it used to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what his limitations are. So I'll wait and see.
I gotta agree with Jimmy. Initially, if we're judging it just on tonight, I'm like, what are we doing here? But let's wait. Maybe Jake will get more promo time. I mean, there's really no better person to kind of help put them over than a Jake Roberts, especially if he still has that mental ability of cutting those kind of promos that, you know, we saw 30, 40 years ago. So yeah, hopefully it leads to them getting more TV time. Hopefully it leads to them, you know, getting put over on a regular basis, whether it's with Jake or whoever.
I think with the pairing, one of the reasons I'm not a fan of it is these are all very fast-paced, aggressive guys, and Jake the Snake's whole style is very slow and methodical. And that's where someone like a Lance Archer was kind of cool. Like having a big monster that he's talking about, I think fits Jake the Snake's style more, where I feel like by the time Jake the Snake finishes saying something, Rush will have already finished the guy off. You know what I mean? And so I don't, it doesn't feel like it fits. Like him, the Jake the Snake vibe doesn't fit Dralistico, who's going to go jump around and fly all over the place.
It does fit for what's his name? Beast Mortos.
The Beast Mortos.
Beast Mortos, yeah. I will say this, Jack, and this might surprise you a little bit. I did enjoy the match. More than, believe it or not, and this is going to get, again, a lot of comments here. I enjoyed that match more than I enjoyed last week's match with Will and Ricochet. Because yes, I did. I'll tell you why. Because these guys both sold and took their time at certain spots when they needed to take their time. I only wish that Excalibur would stop saying these guys are exhausted. That's why they're laying on the mat. No. Put the fact over that the impact of these moves is what's keeping them down and they're selling, not because they're gassed. If he'd have just told that little story and that little edge to it, then it makes more sense to the audience that, hey, these impact moves really, really hurt instead of popping up right after them. These guys are causing damage to their bodies and they're fighting through this and whatever the case may be. But anyways, that's just a little thing with the commentary because they're supposed to help tell the story instead of saying, oh, look at these two guys are gassed. They can't go anymore.
You know, I actually really love that point. And I wonder if that's a situation of because Excalibur's wrestled before, so he knows that they're probably tired as opposed to a Michael Cole who doesn't wrestle. So he's thinking about it from the, you know, they're in pain because they've been hit. You know, if that makes sense. And I don't mean to just compare, you know, same thing with Ian Riccaboni. You know, he wouldn't say they're gassed. He would say they're hurt. Where if you've been in the ring and you've wrestled, I think maybe Excalibur is literally like, yeah, man, they're probably tired. That looks very tiring what they're doing right now. Right.
If it was an Iron Man match, it's a different story where you can, you know, deep into the match and look at these guys have, you know, they've got pretty much nothing left, but they're fighting through it, you know, giving their last breath.
That's a fantastic
Just a little thing.
No, I like it. I agree. That's a great call. We got Ian Smith. Super chat says, the three of you singing karaoke tonight made JR's night. Mic drop. Thank you. Of course.
Sounds like we got a new weekly segment.
Listen, new trio.
New trio.
Don't make me sing. Don't make me sing.
I know you want to. Come on.
You got it. Well, next week, we're going to sing just like wrestling themes. I know you want me. I know you want me.
I'm an ass man.
Oh, no. From Montreal to Memphis, parlez-vous français?
That's a great one. We're all American boys. Boys,
all American. Yeah.
We're not the Mounties.
So many good songs.
I know.
So many.
We're not doing Stand Back. We're not doing Stand Back.
Oh, can we do
If You Only Knew? Booker T's where I'm just going to go. Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. Yes, yes. No.
Which one did you want to do, George?
All of them? I don't know. there are just so many. You can even keep it simple. Money, 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 money. Everybody's got a price.
I'm on my own against the wall. The pressure's building, but no, I will never fall. So anyways, let's talk about Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia is back. He's thought about what to do next, and he is the best professional wrestler. So he's going to stay where the best wrestle. But this isn't the old Garcia. This is a Daniel Garcia that wants what the champions got, and that is championship gold. He's coming for him as he heads to the back. Seems everybody is happy to see him back. George, there was a lot of speculation on where Daniel Garcia may go. It appears he is staying with AEW. I didn't see a tweet that he was the most lucrative signed deal, but I'm sure it was pretty good for him to want to stay. What do you make of this? Is this Daniel Garcia's time?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Daniel Garcia is going to do what Daniel Garcia thinks is best for him. And if he thinks this was best for him, but by all means, bravo, congratulations. Get your bag, get your money, get whatever you need to do to make yourself happy. I do have, I don't think it's anybody's fault for the most part, but I do think that he should take it as a challenge. And it kind of irked me when I saw it, is when he announced that he was staying in AEW. He said, you know, I'm going to stay because this is where the best wrestle. The crowd was chanting AEW. If I was me, I'd be like, man, I really wish the crowd was chanting for me, not for AEW. Yeah. So it just goes to show you, like, it's just, you know, and again, a lot of the old timers will say this, where they don't really like when people are chanting, this is awesome. They should be chanting for the person or the people in the ring. And it goes back to Cena, like, say what you want about Cena. There's always reaction about him. But yeah, when I saw people or heard people here chanting AEW instead, I'm like, oh man, like, I hope Garcia takes it as a challenge, as into like, how do I make them cheer for me as opposed for the company?
That's an interesting point. I guess what's your take on it? I've said before, I'm a huge fan of Daniel Garcia. I think he's going to be a star someday. And I post that all the time. And I always get all these horrible responses about how no way he's not. And I feel like in a few years, everyone's going to say, oh, we always knew he was going to be a big star. I think he's going to be a big star. But what are your thoughts on what George Ramosa just said? I say his first full name like you don't know which George I'm talking about. What do you think about what George just said? Do you think that that's an issue, or do you think it sounded like an easy chant to do at the time?
Yeah, what do you think, Jimmy Corderas, of Jack Farmer's question?
Well, first of all, let me start with something completely different. I didn't like, I didn't like the fact that they shot him entering the building after the show had started to come in and do the promo. You know what? Just have him come in and do the promo. Would have got a bigger reaction, I think, a bigger surprise anyways. But him coming out, like George said to that, you know, he put the company over. It was a rah-rah speech about the company again when the promo was supposed to be about you. There's a time and a place to put the company over, and there's a time and a place to put yourself over. And he should have concentrated on putting himself over and take out that line, I'm the best wrestler in the world. Everybody's saying it. So you don't need to say it as well, because it just seems like, you know, insert I'm the best wrestler in the world here in your promo. That's just,
you know what, you know, my bummer about that was with him saying he's the best wrestler. I was actually okay with that part. I agree with you. I think if they didn't show him, because once they showed him, I was like, oh, he's back. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
they're going to show him on television to announce he's not coming back. you know,
well, they might, but I guess I didn't notice it at first. At first, it's like, I think it's cool that they're doing these kind of videos, because I think that's cool when they had like the person showing up, you know. But you're right. It would have gotten a better reaction if we didn't expect it to come in and he came out. As far as the best wrestler thing, the one thing that bugged me about that wasn't just necessarily the best wrestler, but he had such a long angle where he was like, I'm a sports entertainer. I'm a sports entertainer. I'm a sports entertainer. And as far as I recall, this is the first time since that whole thing happened where he said, I'm the best wrestler. Mm-hmm. And it felt like this big story that had kind of built, and he said it, but it didn't feel like it culminated the story like it could have with everything going on. If that makes a lot of sense. People probably forgot about that story, but I'm a nerd, so I remember him talking about it all the time. I thought it'd be a bigger moment when he finally said, I'm a professional wrestler and not a sports entertainer. But I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's in AEW. I'm glad he's I would have been happy if he was in NXT too.
As far as it being a star someday, I think you're right. He's a work in progress. You know, it's going to take time. There's no rush. Everybody wants it to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be a work in progress. Let's put it that way.
For sure. For sure. But I look at the way he carries himself on the microphone. I look at the way he wrestles really well, obviously, but I think he's grown a lot. I think he'll be there. He'll get there eventually. I think anyways. Willow Nightingale takes on Saraya, Nyla Rose, and Jamie Hayter in a number one contenders match. Things break down when Penelope Ford shows up and attacks Jamie Hayter with a steel chair. From there, Nyla takes a spill to the outside. Willow gets the win. After the match, Mariah May attacks Willow. But that doesn't stop Willow from coming through and attacking Mariah May later and smiling through an intense promo. Jimmy, for this one, I want your thoughts on it. Feels very... Now, this wasn't the original intention match, as we saw, as we know. So a little bit of damage control, I think. Well, can't say damage control either anymore. But a little bit of adjusting on the fly here. I don't know if this was a great match, but I think they did a good job of trying to pull some things out of it to make some rivalries for the future.
No, it was entertaining, and it did accomplish that, exactly what you just said. But, you know, there are little nitpicky things that I could take out through the match, because you know, the double suplex spot, I didn't think fit. I mean, with all due respect, trying to suplex two people that are much larger than you just doesn't fit. I don't know.
Right.
I didn't like that. And then the backstage segment where she took out Mariah May while she was about to be interviewed by Renee. And then she cuts a promo looking at the camera when Mariah May's right there. And she's talking to Mariah May, but she's talking to the camera.
That was weird.
It's those little things that if she was talking to Mariah May and just spitting venom at her, and, you know, Renee could be there with the microphone holding it closer, she can, you know, that to me screams more intensity than, you know, saying what you're saying at the camera.
Right.
It just didn't make sense to me. If that makes sense.
No, that absolutely makes sense. I thought it was kind of weird too. But George, your thoughts on this one? Again, this was another one where it felt a bit like this could have been, and again, this wasn't the originally planned match, of course. Mm-hmm. So I do like to give him a little bit of leeway in that regard, but it felt like a bunch of stuff happened that could have been stuff that you drug out for a lot of good TV. Penelope Ford, I'm super glad she's back. Her versus Jamie Hayter in the future is good to me, but felt very random in this matchup that Penelope Ford showed up. What was your takeaway from all this?
Just trying to fit too much into a small bag. The match was kind of a little bit all over the place, to be
gimmick
honest
infringement,
with you.
Jimmy.
it was a little all over the place. You had, and we've all on this show praised to the heavens above how amazing Harley Cameron is. With that said, yeah, I think it was a little too much today in terms of like just there's just too much going on. Yeah, Penelope Ford coming in just like randomly, like, oh, she's like nothing. There's like we haven't seen her in a very long time. So it's like she just randomly shows up and just attacks Jamie Hayter and it was just a lot of things going on and just it was not a fan. The promos were, I mean, why aren't you talking to the person you're challenging? All you got to do is say something like, you know what, I want to beat you down I want to beat you down so much, but I want to save something because I don't want you to make excuses for you not to show up at WrestleDream when I take that championship off your shoulder. I do want to say the bright spot was Mariah May on commentary. I think she is such a delight, her confidence. Mm-hmm. And she probably has always had this confidence level, so I don't want to say like she's gotten it since, you know, breaking loose from Toni Storm. But yeah, she's just phenomenal. She's got this charisma about her. She can just easily go back and forth just with people in general. But yeah, she is such a delight. I want to see, or I guess you can say hear, more of Mariah May on commentary.
Yeah, I thought she did well. Also, we got a learning tree segment here where Big Bill says the people who need the lessons the most are the ones that want them the least. Jericho says that Rocky Romero is an afterthought in the conglomeration. And then George, that's when Big Bill says sometimes when you're in the picture, you can't see the big picture. We're all learning from these.
Such
segments, aren't
wise
we?
Words from Big Bill. Like, like just such wisdom. Honestly, I got no complaints when it comes to this. I think Brian Keith is obviously just such a star. Big Bill is really coming into his own. I've been watching, as I've mentioned it before, I've been watching a lot of the old school SummerSlams. So just to see him to go from where he was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when he was like that heel that he just didn't know what to do with, and to see where he's at now. I think it's such a great, and yeah, I mean, I got no complaints. I thought Jericho was great. I think everybody involved was great.
I've said it before, but I think Brian Keith and Big Bill have really gained a lot from this learning tree situation, Jimmy Corderas, in that we've gotten to see their personalities. I think that now when they have matches, I'm going to care about them a lot more than I would have had they not been in this group. If the group was to dissolve tomorrow, I think their stock's already up, and I don't know where the group is going from here. But any takeaways from this one?
Well, for me, you know, Jericho is obviously the biggest name in that group, but the guys that have emerged as the biggest entertainment aspect from that group, like you said, are the two sidekicks, Big Bill and Brian Keith. Yes.
So,
the thing about the when their interaction with Rocky Romero, what do heels do to get heat when they speak? They speak truths, but it's kind of like a stabbing kind of truth. Like, you know, and they were shooting at Rocky Romero. And what did they say that was incorrect? Really?
Right.
Honestly speaking. So he's spitting truth and also not getting liked for it because of the way he spits his truth. But I liked the segment. I thought it was fine. Like you said, Big Bill actually with those comments was, he surprised me actually. I went, oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And the little things, like as he said, after he said it to Rocky Romero, he walks. And then Jericho gives him the smile, you know, and then Jericho follows. And of course, Keith Lee has to get his last word in, which is the running gag now. I love it.
Yes. And it's always, he's so great with that last word. And then Big Bill sneakily becoming the king of facial expressions. I don't know if you got him a couple of times when Rocky Romero was talking back, he was making these just like wide eyed, like, how dare you say this kind of face? It was great. It's funny. Jay White has a match with Cody Chun. White gets the win and then calls out Adam Page for Wrestle Dream. Cody Chun, I am a huge fan of him. I've had the honor of getting to call a few of his matches and ring announce him a couple times. I think he's going to be a big deal someday. I think he's going to get signed to a contract one of these days. I think he'll be on TV regularly. Hoping for him here. Jimmy, kind of this, we rarely get these kind of matches on Dynamite where it's kind of a one-sided deal. One guy looks strong, but we get yet another call out for Wrestle Dream in what is a huge match, but feels like it's a last minute add-on.
Yeah, that's the thing when you have this pay-per-view this close together and you haven't got a definitive plan in sight and you're trying to put matches together as quickly as possible. This is what you get, unfortunately. The match itself was a good match, but I just thought that Cody got a little bit too much offense in. Again, for me,
let's go.
I know, but if you've got Jay White, who's going to be challenging Hangman, he's got to look very dominant going into that match.
Yeah. George, any thoughts on this one? And never mind. I don't want to preview it because we're going to give our predictions at the end of the show. So don't preview Paige and White too much, but just any takeaways on this one? Have you seen Cody wrestle before? Cody Chun wrestle before? Are you a fan?
Yeah, I think he's great. I think he's great. I think he's got a bright future. I saw him at a PCW show when I was shooting camera, and he was one of those guys that like nobody knew who he was, but by the end of the show, by the end of the match was just like, oh, like I want, bring him back, please bring him back, because I know he's a Seattle guy. But yeah, I mean, we kind of had similar criticism when it had that match last week with Private Party, though. When it was like, this is such, feels like such a big show. Like, why are Private Party kind of facing like this enhancement talent type scenario on such a big show? So it's kind of similar vibes, but I get it. You kind of have to have Jay White come back with that, some kind of a match before challenging Hangman for the other show. So I kind of saw its place. But I think the highlight of the segment was when Juice Robinson's gum fell out and then he went down and he pretty much picked it up with his mouth.
Juice Robinson is a madman. Juice Robinson is a nut job. He is so fun. Juice Robinson is just entertainment, man. I want to see him on TV more often. That guy.
Just the fact that his name is Juice Robinson,
right?
Rock hard, Juice Robinson. just what a treasure. He is someone who we need to have on TV more often. That guy is so entertaining. And he's one of those guys, you could put him anywhere on the show, and I would be like, this guy's entertaining. I love it. More, please. We got a bunch of promos this evening. So we got Mark Briscoe cuts a very serious one about Jericho and their match for the Ring of Honor title coming up. We also have Top Flight saying that they're upset about not being in that tag team championship match at Wrestle Dream. And Hook runs into Christian Cage, who talks about dads for a little bit. Jimmy, from these three segments, any takeaways, any thoughts?
Uh, The one I enjoyed the most out of the three was actually the Christian Cage interrupting Hook when Hook was going on the rampage about wanting to find out who took out his dad. Christian he's just a master. I mean, everything he says makes sense from a heel standpoint. And the way he conducts himself, that little smug look, just makes you want to slap that look off his face.
And that's so good.
Yes.
Yeah, he's so good. And George, yeah, you could hear the crowd gasp when they comes on, and not gasp, but kind of do the, even if we predicted that because it's a dad situation, it must've been Christian Cage. Seeing him, we're all just like, oh, here we go. It's him. Mm-hmm. You know, he is such a good villain, Christian Cage. He is just, he's the best right now, I think. But George, any thoughts on these promos?
What's the Top Flight? I do kind of hope we see something different, because when they were cutting that promo and Action interrupted them, I was just kind of like, I just kind of felt where Action was coming from, because it was just like, all right, already, like, you're saying the same thing every single time. We get it. You guys are good. You guys are the best. Give me something different. So I'm kind of hoping that that's what the Top Flight thing leads into. And just with Hook, I want to believe in him when he talks. It's just really hard. So I'm kind of curious if he's just like a chill guy overall, and they're just trying to kind of find something inside him to kind of fire up. So I hope that leads into maybe getting more comfortable, but I still can't buy into what he's saying. It's just not believable when he kind of comes that angry. Like, I don't know if that's his natural way of talking. I don't know if that's how he sounds when he's legit angry. But I just hope that he gets enough reps to kind of get better on the mic, because I feel like once he has that, then sky's the limit for Hook.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a couple more promos. MVP had a video talking about everything that's going on with him and Swerve and Prince Nana. Jack Perry says that Shabbat is a legend, but Shabbat's phone does all the talking for him now, and it's not about what you deserve. It's about what you're willing to take. The title makes him the best, so come take it from him. Private Party also, as mentioned, had that promo that George alluded to, saying that it's time to finally become the champions. Jimmy, any thoughts from these three? There's a lot of promos.
A lot of promos. You know what? MVP is an underrated speaker. He's great on the mic. He projects well. He speaks well. He comes off authentic. And I like that. He always has. And as far as Jack Perry, you mentioned about Darby Allin kind of resorting same sort of thing. That's how I feel about Jack Perry's promos every week. They all just feel same. There's no variety. There's no versatility. There's no difference. Every week it's the same sort of, you know, cadence, the same sort of, tone.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, same for me. That's the only thing. I want to see something different from him. You know, even the promo when he was walking with the little thing, when he was breaking the TVs before he got interrupted by Taco Bell, you know, it was the same sort of thing. The only difference was he was walking and getting ready to smash some old televisions. You know, I want to see something different from him.
I think he needs a real rivalry. I think that's one of the things that's eluding him right now, is I think he's developed this new character. He's a champion, but since he's become the champion, every match he's had has essentially just been, hey, I'm challenging for your title now, as opposed to having a real, like, we hate each other. There's an issue between us and we got to settle it by fighting in the ring. There's a question I have, and it was raised in the chat. Jimmy, you've been in the wrestling business, so I assume you can help us here. But Leonard Jones asks, why did Jack Perry say Shibata had a turkey leg in his pants?
I have no idea.
George.
See, it's little things like that.
Why? Do you have any idea why he said he had a turkey leg in his pants?
My only guess is he legit had a turkey leg in his pants.
Maybe he was sneaking one out of catering. I don't know.
I think he was putting him over. We'll just say.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean,
Mercedes Moné has a match with Emi Sakura. Mercedes cuts a promo before the double title match. Sakura makes a fight out of it before getting tripped by Camille. The double champ gets the win. After the match, Mercedes and Camille are ready to pounce, but Statlander comes and makes the save. George, I actually like this one a lot. I like that. I know some people say maybe Emi Sakura got too much offense in, but as the kind of champ that Mercedes is, I kind of like she needed help in this case. I think that kind of helps the kind of character she is. I love the idea of Camille versus Statlander, but again, I feel like it's one of those deals where I'm like, man, that's money. What are we doing? Why is we just throwing that out there?
Yeah, it does seem a little random, especially since the last time we saw Statlander, wasn't she with Stokely?
Yeah, I think they broke apart.
But now she's a face all of a sudden.
That's weird to me. I'm not gonna cover it up. You're right.
Like,
I'm just
yeah. Like yeah, just, give me something.
I'm just telling what I'm seeing, George. Yeah. That's
that's one thing that kind of bugged me a little bit. And I'm fine with it. I mean, a lot of people were saying about Emi Sakura getting a championship match is out of nowhere. I mean, like, I always go back to it's a TBS championship. It's fine. Like, that's kind of supposed to be like an open challenge type, you know, championship anyways. So I'm fine with it. I thought the match was good. You can tell Mercedes is having fun out there because being a fan of just all women's wrestling in general, you know that Emi Sakura was somebody that she looked up to for a very long time. I mean, Emi Sakura is probably responsible for training the majority of a lot of the Japanese women that are doing their thing, including Hikaru Shida. So just knowing that. So yeah, it was a good match. But yeah, just overall, I'm just like, why is that all of a sudden just a baby face for nothing? Give me something. Give me anything. Just don't just make us forget that, like, you know, because all of us are thinking, like, did we miss something? Did we miss like a Twitter promo? Did we miss some kind of backstage segment? You know, because I'm watching the Rampage and the Collision, and yeah, there's nothing as far as why she's a babyface again.
Yeah, TX says stat a face again with zero explanation. I'm a fan of Chris Statlander, but I need reason for it to play out over weeks of TV. I think the thing that makes me the most frustrated about it and I should say, I think that she's better as someone we can cheer. I think she's got a great personality. She's someone you want to cheer for, but didn't she just have a successful, wasn't she successful against Willow? Am I mistaken? Or did Willow beat her?
Statlander beat her.
So why would she change after being successful in being, you know, it's when you have the change, Jimmy, it's usually because like things weren't working. Right. I've got to, you know, Stokely, you did me wrong. I'm gonna like leave you now, as opposed to, yeah, we won. Things are great. Anyways, I'm gonna leave you now and change my attitude. That's weird.
It almost felt like with every match, we got to send somebody out there after the match so we could have some post-match shenanigans. And Chris Statlander's here. Let's send her out there. That's how it felt to me. And also, one thing that bothered me too is Camille has looked worse and worse every week as a bodyguard. She has not gotten any offense in, and you know, and hasn't been a very good protector. And it almost feels like Mercedes Moné has been protecting her from getting her butt kicked. You know what I mean? Like, she got knocked out of the ring by Statlander, and Mercedes Moné is pulling her back, saving her. That's a weird dynamic for me.
Yeah, I would have thought Camille would have come in and been absolutely unstoppable for months. And then that's when you get the eventual Camille versus Mercedes situation or whatever the case is. Or even if that never happens, like then that's when you get the good guy that can finally topple Camille. And it's a big deal where if she looks weak throughout, then you're like, okay, well, big whoop. Yeah. Will Ospreay calls out Don Callis, and they go back and forth regarding what happened with Takeshita's attack last week. Don Callis tries to talk about last year's victories before they go back and forth in a very heated exchange. It gets physical. Eventually, out comes Takeshita. There's some fighting. Kyle Fletcher comes out. He's left to make a choice. He decides to punt and just walk away from the whole thing. Eventually, Ricochet comes out and makes the save for Ospreay before that triple threat match up there. I thought the back and forth with Don Callis and Ospreay was great between these guys. But Jimmy, this was yet another situation where I thought this is months of TV you just threw out the window.
Yeah, they just blast through everything rapid fire. And the other thing, again, I talked about Excalibur earlier about not conveying the story like I think he should have. The other thing he needs to do is know when to lay out.
Yes.
Because there were times during the promo exchange between Don Callis and Ospreay, which was really getting heated and really getting good, that he interjected himself. And it was like, dude, shut up. Let them talk. You know what I mean? And I got frustrated a little bit. I don't want to say it took me out of it because it was a good exchange. But you know, a good announcer knows when to lay out and let the story be told and let the wrestlers tell the story. There are times when you need to help tell that story, but they were doing just fine on their own. Trust me. And all the other stuff afterwards. Again, interesting that Ricochet came out to make the save, especially after last week. We don't know if there's still friend or foe, but I guess, you know, mm-hmm. you know, buddies for life, for life.
Yeah. Right. Right. I think it's, I think they respect each other. Respectful rivals is there what we call it, I guess. But yeah, I agree with you on the laying out thing. In general, my take is, for the most part, if there's a promo going in, commentary should be quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, there's very few times commentary should chime in during a promo in general. I don't think we need the side remarks throughout. Right. And because when it's quiet between the two, let the tension sit. Like, you don't need me to fill in that time.
Right.
But that's my take on it. I agree with you. I hate when commentary is plugging in throughout promos. I try to imagine, you try to imagine some of the great, you know, like Stone Cold promos or The Rock promos or Hogan, whatever promo, with commentary popping in every 5 seconds, trying to get their stuff in.
If there's a pause in the promo exchange, let the crowd noise be there, not you yapping. You know what I mean?
Right. Or like I said, it's the tension. Like if Daniel Garcia, for instance, is like, I had to decide what to do and where to sign. And I'm signing here. Yeah, you don't want something like, well, where is it? Huh? Right. You know, or whatever the case is. You just let the pause happen. George, your thoughts on this whole exchange? I'm going to tell you something that bugged me right off the bat. Mm. This actually really irked me. Incredibly, this is probably the thing that bothered me the most in AEW in a long time. Don Callis family's out there. There's a lot of action. Violence is happening in the ring. Anarchy. And the guy that Don Callis literally just signed didn't show up. Where was Lance Archer? What was the whole point of that? We just saw him sign. Why wasn't Lance Archer out there, George?
And he was there.
That really bothered me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, there's a little inconsistencies when it came to that. There's no reason why he shouldn't have been out there. I mean, overall, I thought the segment was okay. Like I said, you know what it is too, is so today was Title Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. Last week was the 5th anniversary show. The week before was Grand Slam. So there's like all these big shows where it's like, oh, wait, Wrestle Dreams like this weekend. So I feel like it's kind of, you know, I don't know about pay-per-view scheduling, but like maybe should have pushed maybe Wrestle Dream a week ahead or a week after or a week later. Because there's all these big shows where it's like you're building toward Grand Slam. You're building toward the 5th anniversary show. You're building toward Title Tuesday. Oh, we got a pay-per-view this upcoming week. So it's just, yeah, I feel like they need to spread it out a little bit more. I know Grand Slam is probably going to change next year. But yeah, just overall, that's kind of how I felt. That kind of overshadowed just the story of the match or the story of what we're going to see. Because it's like, you know, everything's just kind of getting tried to smush together in such little time. What took Ricochet so long to come out?
He doesn't really like Ospreay. Mm-hmm. he was probably like getting ready to go home and he's looking up at the monitor. He's like, oh, he's getting attacked. Someone should do something.
Yeah.
Ah, God, I gotta go put my stuff on. Let me go.
He probably said, oh, let him get a few more in.
He like walks to the ring slowly. We start the show. We started with Jon Moxley cutting a promo about how this is the real world and everyone else is playing with their toys. No one can stop us. And this was the interesting part. And who is coming? Bryan Danielson will understand eventually, but he doesn't have time to worry about that right now. We get to the match of the main event, Bryan Danielson, Wheeler Yuta versus Claudio and Pac. This one, friends going at it until eventually Bryan Danielson gets the win. He ends up basically beating down the entire Blackpool Combat Club and saving Wheeler Yuta in the process. Jimmy, this felt like a great way to make Bryan Danielson look like an unbeatable star going into a match a lot of people think could be his last.
Yeah, they put a lot of stock into this one, that's for sure. I was questioning why have this match now going on your go-home show for the pay-per-view, but it actually helped tell the story. The promo by Jon Moxley was great. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I mean, he has found his zone right now, and I hope he continues to stay in it. That's for sure. And I'm looking, it made me want to see this match. I get Bryan Danielson. I keep saying Daniel Bryan, but Bryan Danielson. I like his fiery promos. He doesn't need the F-bombs every week. We've heard it already. We know you're fired up. You don't need them every week.
But, fired wasn't the F-word he used, Jimmy.
No. I don't want to say that F word, but anyways, I want to stay here for a little while longer, at least anyways, but it was good. It told a story just at the end when he started fighting Moxley out through what is their gorilla position and into the back and stuff like that. I like that he was, again, they had this fight, but they had the other stuff going on in the ring, and you're cutting back and forth and you're a little bit confused on what's taking precedence here, you know, that sort of thing. Other than that, I thought it was well done. And it actually made me want to look forward to the match on Saturday.
Yeah, George, any takeaways from this segment? I agree. I think Moxley right now is on another level with this character he's doing, and this, everything about the new Blackpool Combat Club just feels so sinister and intense. I think to a point of a lot of the other heel groups are kind of irrelevant outside of Christian's group. I don't really see, like, if you're not this group, then you're not very scary anymore, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think's coming with him? What's the tease?
I don't know. I still kind of think that maybe Wheeler Yuta is going to get turned heel. I think there's something there that maybe can take him to the next level. We saw Final Countdown on Dynamite, I think, for the first time, which was pretty cool. But yeah, those promos to open the shows are just such a knock it out of the park. Like every single time, what a great way to start the show. But yeah, I thought the match was good. I thought Jon Moxley has been, you know, I'd love to see him back in WWE, by the way. But that's here nor there. But yeah, just I thought it was a good way to close the show. But yeah, I still see Wheeler at some point kind of seeing that really the future is going to be with this new BCC.
There was an interesting point. LK says the only time the crowd got excited was when Bryan did the guest chant motions. That's not true. They were chanting there's a Wheeler Yuta chant actually during this matchup, which I thought was pretty incredible. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like something's going to happen at Wrestle Dream, and it's probably going to be worth tuning in for to see. In fact, I think it's going to be something that we're going to want to cut. Well, we're covering the show, by the way, afterwards. Right. If you haven't already checked out the live recap of Bad Blood, of course, check that out. But this week, we're covering AEW's Wrestle Dream to break down that show. I don't know who's covering that show. Is it you fellas again?
I know Flobo is for sure. I'm need to see my availability because I know I'm working on Saturday. I just don't know.
Okay, hot
time.
Shot. Mr. Big Time and everybody.
Yeah, double shot. Do a double shot.
I'm trying. Trust me. I'm trying to make it work.
But let's talk about our predictions. We're going to get into predictions here. Of course, I always love it when everyone in the chat joins along with us. Let us know who you think is going to win. We're starting with a 0-hour match. Ring of Honor World Television Champion match, Atlantis Jr. versus Brian Cage. Jimmy Corderas, what do you think?
I'm not sure on this one. I'm a little bit conflicted, but I'm going to stay with Atlantis Jr.
I'll be honest. I haven't followed the Ring of Honor Television Championship situation closely lately, so I'm just going to pick Brian Cage, but that's kind of a coin flick. George, what do you think?
Who's the champion?
I think it's Atlantis Jr.
Then I'm going to go with Atlantis. I'm going to go with Atlantis Jr.
All right. Two for Atlantis Jr., one for Cage. Texas Leprechaun says Cage is winning. Texas Leprechaun is going to be there. So very cool. That'll be exciting.
Enjoy.
At the Tacoma Dome, mild stomping ground. we get to the main show, based on what this says here anyways. Ring of Honor World Championship match, Mark Briscoe versus Chris Jericho. I get first pick on this one. I'm going Mark Briscoe. You can't have someone like Jericho say the things he said, and you can't have serious Briscoe act the way he did and then have him take an L to Chris Jericho. So I think Mark Briscoe's getting the win. George, what do you think?
Unless you have him take the L, only to get the W sometime in the future. But I do think that the Ocho will remain the Ocho, and it'll be Mark Briscoe that retains.
Yeah. Danny Cochran with a great point. I'm sorry, guys. It's no fun when Jack does predictions. He's always right. Perfect record with an asterisk. A couple asterisks.
Nobody's
there,
perfect.
Perfect. Except
Kurt Henny.
I've never gotten one wrong. I mean, there's a few asterisks, but other than that, I've never gotten one wrong. But Jimmy, Mark Briscoe, Chris Jericho, who's going to leave the Ring of Honor champion?
In theory, you would think that if Chris Jericho were to win the ROH championship, it would bring more eyes to it. But I think it won't help. But I like Mark Briscoe. Let's make it a clean sweep here.
Yeah, he was already the Ring of Honor champion too. I don't really know what that would do. Darby Allin versus Brody King. George Hermosa, you get first crack at this one.
I really want to say Brody King, but I feel like Tony Khan, and I don't mean this as a knock, but I feel like he doesn't really know how to book heat. So I think he's going to have the hometown boy, Darby Allin, go over and win.
Jimmy Corderas, do you agree?
Well, after hearing George say it the way he did, I have to agree with him. And I think it's going to be Darby Allin for that exact reason. Now that you said it, George, I agree with you.
I'm going with Darby Allin just because Brody King hasn't even been on TV, like on Dynamite, in months. And so Darby Allin just took a big loss. I can't imagine taking yet another loss, even though I do think Brody King is someone who could be a massive, massive star in their company right now. For now, I think Darby Allin is the guy. AEW TNT Championship match, Jack Perry versus Shibata. Jimmy, I dare you to pick Jack Perry. I know you're a Jack Perry hater.
I'm picking him anyways. I hate to do it. I really hate to do it. But I'm picking Jack Perry.
Yeah, I think Jack Perry's winning this one. Again, Shibata hasn't been on Dynamite in months. I don't know why I would assume he's going to win this one.
Would he put the title around his phone, or if he were to win, or no?
That's a good question. Is the phone Shibata's manager? It does all the talking.
It sounds like it. But I'm going to say that Shibata has no chance at winning. And it'll be Jack Perry that wins and retains his TNT championship. Network. Something. What does the T stand for?
Television.
Turner Network Television Championship.
So basically, you're saying no chance. That's what you got.
No chance ahead.
In hell, you song. Got.
Him Jung Un says the phone is his valet. That makes sense. AEW International Championship Triple Threat: Will Ospreay versus Ricochet versus Konosuke Takeshita. I am going to go with, it's my turn, right? Gee, this is actually a tough one to pick. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Takeshita. I think Takeshita gets the win here. And that leads to an Ospreay Ricochet match down the road, separate of Takeshita. And Takeshita goes on to defend the international title for a while. George, what do you think?
I was going to say Takeshita, but I want to be different. So I think Ricochet will come out as champion, the one and only.
It's not one and only anymore. That's gone now.
Stole my thunder, George.
So you're going Ricochet, Jimmy.
I was gonna say that Ricochet is going to win this one, with Will Ospreay being the one who inflicts the damage to Takeshita, and looks like he's going to retain, but Ricochet takes advantage of that, dumps Ospreay out of the ring and takes the pin himself. Basically,
yeah, this one is an interesting one. This is one I'm very torn on how that could go. Mm-hmm. Next one, and George, you get first crack at this one. AEW Tag Team Championship match: The Young Bucks versus Private Party.
I am going to make a prediction.
Well, that's the whole segment, George.
I am going to say that we are going to see brand new tag team champions and Private Party.
Spicy take, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm not that spicy. I'm sticking with the Young Bucks. I just don't see it for the Private Party.
You know, I'm with George. I think Private Party is going to do it. I feel like the tag team division needs something to freshen it up. I feel like it's been young, like it's been the same few teams kind of as the champs. And I think Private Party is going to get the win. And I think they're going to freshen it up here.
I don't think they're fresh enough.
We'll find out. They're spicy. They're not. This.
They're in the discount fruit section. They're not fresh enough. I said it there. I said it.
Calling Private Party some discount fruits with some turkey legs. I guess Jack, that was a Jack Perry thing. Never mind. Jimmy, you get first crack at this point. AEW Women's World Championship match, Mariah May versus Willow Nightingale.
You know, as much as I like Willow and I think she would be a great champion, I think Mariah May has found her zone as champion. I'd like to see her continue. So I'm going to pick Mariah May.
Yeah, I think Mariah May has too much gas in the tank as far as what she can do as champion. I really don't want to see I don't want to see Willow lose, but I think Mariah May is probably going to be the champion for a while until Tony Storm comes back, is my prediction. Right. George, your thoughts?
Yeah, I got to go with Mariah May. She's got so much momentum right now, and it'd just be a shame for that to be halted.
Who gets the next pick?
You.
Can't remember.
You.
Me? Oh. I wish I didn't. Jay White versus Adam Page. Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to go Adam Page because it just feels like AEW's got more behind him than Jay White. But I really hate this matchup because both these guys should be winning. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely not in the good, like, oh man, both of them should win. I like them both, but like, in the like, man, neither of these guys should be taking L's right now. Yeah. But George, what do you think?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's going to be a time limit draw.
Boo. Ooh. Wow. Boo. I mean, I'm not booing your pick. I'm booing a time limit draw would make me boo.
Because I feel like there's, I mean, it's wrestling. Like, nobody's really going to come out, you know, come out like bad. Right. But yeah, I feel like Jay White just came back. Adam Page is really, you know, finding this heel character. I feel like maybe a loss would set something back a little bit, but I do feel we're going to see some kind of non-finish that will make both people look strong.
Jimmy, what do you say?
I think I'm going to be the tiebreaker. Ooh. I can't be a tiebreaker. No, I'm going to make it a three-way tie. I'm going to take Jay White. Ooh. And have, but Adam Page will get his heat back afterwards.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, George, you get the final one. You get the first pick on the final one. AEW World Championship match, Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. Is this the end of the American Dragon?
This will be the end of the American Dragon. I guess you can say this will be the final countdown for Bryan Danielson. I feel like we're going to see something big come out of the show. Maybe a Shane McMahon, Here Comes the Money appearance. But I do feel like we are going to end the show with a new champion, Jon Moxley.
Do you agree, Jimmy K?
I like that idea. I really do, especially after the last couple of weeks with Jon Moxley and the way he's been cutting those promos and alluding to someone joining the group. I really want to say Jon Moxley. You know what? I am going to say Jon Moxley.
I think we're all in agreement. I think this is the moment. I think Jon Moxley gets the win. I think it makes sense for the history Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson have, where Jon Moxley is going. I agree. I think someone's going to show up. A lot of people say it's Shane McMahon, and I would like him in a TV role, but I don't feel like he fits what John Moxley's doing. You know, I don't know. Like, he's too charismatic, you know, where John Moxley's too, like, creepy and scary. You know, I feel like Shane brings too much, like entertainment to it, if that makes sense. But I don't know. Maybe it'll work.
I just can't wait to see a Dynamite Underground show up or happen in a couple weeks.
Hmm.
Hey, I'm down for Underground anytime. But that does it for us. Let us know what you guys think of our predictions. Let us know what you thought of the show. Jimmy Corderas, final thoughts, and where can we find you online?
I thought the show was okay. It just, there's a lot, like you said, Jack, a lot of stuff that was rushed through to get to this pay-per-view, and that's where it suffered a little bit for me, and a lot of stuff didn't make sense. But otherwise, this still looks like a lot of interesting stuff happening on the pay-per-view, and I'm interested. I'm going to tune in, check it out. And as far as where you can find me, Mondays here after Raw, after 2 hours of Raw, and Wednesdays after Dynamite, and then, of course, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together this week, Ricardo Rodriguez. We had a great chat with him. And by the way, he says hello, George.
Did you tell him, you know, went to school with Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, he listed a whole bunch of other people too that they did some kind of special people who went to that high school. So there's a lot more names, and he revealed those. And of course, the huge pop radio show here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio with my good buddy Donnie DeSilva. This past week, we chatted with the Blue Meanie, which was a lot of fun. Yes.
George, I'm surprised you didn't do the dance.
Oh, the Blue Meanie dance. Because I'm saving the vocals because I heard we want one more song. But speaking of saying hello, Lillian Garcia says, "You're the best, Jim," or says, and I quote, "He's the best. Tell him I say hello with a little wave emoji."
Oh, awesome.
Are you flexing that you got Lillian Garcia's, you guys are text buddies?
Yeah, we were on the show watching Bad Blood, and we were talking about Lillian Garcia, and I texted her while we were covering the show in hopes that she would have texted me back before the show ended so I can tell Jimmy a message, but I didn't. She didn't text me back before the show ended.
You two big timers.
Yeah, I used to help produce her show, Chasing Glory, even going back to the AfterBuzz days, and then even post-AfterBuzz days.
Well, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, where I'm working on Wrestling Inc. stuff here on Mondays and on Wednesdays. Make sure to follow at Wrestling for all your latest wrestling news, and make sure to tune in on Friday. Oh, yeah.
I do want to add one more. I was a big fan of, "Whoa, you're only smoking mirrors. Whoa, you're only smoking mirrors." Okay, I'm done.
That's a good one too. Follow Wrestling Inc. Make sure to tune in to After SmackDown, After Wrestle Dream, all the good stuff. That's the show, everyone. Go home. Have a good evening. We'll see you Friday.
I walked a mile inside this bitch.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.